Barry asked me. I didn't know that I would have a problem with my voice and all that stuff, but let the Lord take care of that part of it. How are you all doing today?
Super.
Good. Is that really the truth?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that. Sometimes we say we're doing good. Somebody asked me the other day, well, yeah, I'm doing good, but this throat of mine and other parts of my body aren't acting quite the way I would like to have them for being good. So sometimes we have to think about what we're saying. Okay, today we're going to be looking at mountaintops. Mountaintops to climb in 2024. You have your climbing gear along, ready to climb? Well, this climbing gear, we won't need quite what we would do if we were scaling Mount Everest. That's a whole different story. It's just like Mike with his bike riding. He doesn't go bike riding on an 80-mile trip or 100 or whatever across the United States without a lot of preparation. There's a lot of preparation goes into it. And our scripture today is taken from 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. And that scripture is going to tell us about those things that we're going to need in 2024 to help us add, multiply in our lives so that we can develop to be the people that God would want us to be. But before that, let's pray. Father, as we come to you on this first Sunday of 2024, thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this point. Thank you for giving us life, for health and strength. Thank you for wisdom and understanding. Now, Lord, may you take the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart that they might be acceptable to you. Anoint my voice, anoint my throat, and all that goes with it. In the name of Jesus, amen. And today we have a cross-generational church. What's the youngest one here?
Three months.
3 months, and some are older than that here today. Just a little. Yes. The scripture from 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11, please read.
Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I think it's one of my favorite scriptures. I don't get it always carried out in my life, but it still has applicability for us. And especially as we come to this first Sunday of the new year, when we think of January, We think of the 10th month here corresponds with January. And who is it that was looking out and seeing the peaks showing up? It was Noah. He was looking out after being in that ark for all those days, all that rain and everything, in with those smelly animals and everything. Oh yeah, his apartment was all air conditioned and smell controlled. Now, you know, that's a whole different thing to think about. But Noah saw without doing any climbing, but he was above and he saw those tops that were starting to come out because the water was reducing. It was going away. The rain had stopped. The flood was declining. God had not forgotten to be gracious. Just like any of you who had the opportunity to go to Camp Sotara and climb up to the rock pile and look out across the area or any other mountain or other place where you can go high and look around. It's beautiful to see the view. God had not forgotten to be gracious. We want to look at some of the mountaintops as we begin this new year. The big question is, what will the new year bring? You ever stop and think about that, what the new year will bring? Will it be joy or sorrow, achievement or frustration, health or sickness, or good or ill, gladness, happiness? But the thing is, we cannot see because of the darksome veil, the plains, the surprise vistas, the unfolding months may unveil. You know, there's times that in our lives we would like to say, Lord, show us what's going to happen. But you know what? The Lord knows that we are frail human beings. And there are times that if he shows us everything ahead, we wouldn't be able to handle it. So he gives it to us in a day at a time. But yet, if you are truly Christ, we are not in total obscurity. Because we have the scriptures. And because there are mountaintops. There are mountaintops of divine promises. That's the first one. Divine promises of mountaintops of divine promises. Peter has given great and precious promises that we might be what? Partakers. And I have to think of that for myself. We have this cupboard in our house, probably like all of you do. And in that cupboard is where there's candy. And for my grandparents, I'd walk in their door from their wash house, and to the left, there was a cupboard where the candy was. And we would go there and pick out what we wanted. We would be partakers of that freely because they said we could. How often do we go to the cupboard, the candy cupboard, to find and partake of that? So my question to you is this morning, how much are we partaking as we begin this new year? I don't know, would you call them New Year's resolutions or whatever that is? What are the characteristics of these promises that God has given to us? One of them is they're unfailing. That's the one thing. Sometimes when Glenn says something, I don't carry through. And this morning, some people were getting a little excited that I didn't get here so early and they were going to get Chuck to preach or to share because I wasn't here yet. So, unfailing. What are the characteristics? They're unfailing. In 1 Kings 8:56, in one of Solomon's prayers, it says, "Blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed what? One word of all his good promises, which he has promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." Not one word failed. We can count on that. We all know that it's assured by divine ability and being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he was also able to perform, Romans 4:21. It's also grounded in Christ in 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are what? Yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. We also know they're of infinite value, as we heard from 2 Peter here, 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great, precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about be partakers of these great and precious promises. This all culminates in everlasting life from 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Think about that. He has promised us eternal life. He not only provides promises, but he also provides the three P's. He provides presence, his protection, and his provision. Those three things come along with it. Don't you like those extra benefits? Extra things that you get along with something? Yeah, at least I do. So when you're thinking about that, all those sunbathed peaks of promises, I'm thinking of the song that says, standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. And God's promises have no expiration date. Sometimes, any of you are sharp shoppers, you go there and sometimes you're looking to see if it's expired or not, but yeah, expiration dates. The meaning of a promise is a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified. A legally binding declaration that gives a person to whom it is made a right to expect. Are you and I God's children? Therefore, we can expect. There are mountaintops of spiritual possibilities. Mountaintops of spiritual possibilities. What is a possibility? One most power, the capacity, ability of something. And the scripture says in 1 John 1:12, but as many as receive him, to them he what? He gave power. That's like plugging a tool into electric. And when you plug it in, it's ready to roll. Or nowadays, you need the battery to plug in to give it action. It's plugging into the power. We plug into Christ's power. Become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. 1 John 12:13 says, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of God, nor the will of man, but of God. Think about that. Who chose you? God chose us to be his peculiar people. Peculiar people. Are you a peculiar person? Yeah, we are. To some people that look at us from the outside and wonder why we do what we do. In 2024, I'm hoping that you'll be a peculiar person someplace along the line, that you're not going to conform to the standards of the world, that you're going to be a pure person because of the power that is in you to become the sons of God, which results in a new life in the Spirit. Somebody has a scripture from Romans 8, 9 through 13, and then Romans 8, 14 through 18. And there's a microphone there for you.
But you are not controlled by, I don't know how to use But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. Because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, for if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if you through the power of Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, and you will live.
Thank you. Yes, did you hear what was said there? Living by the Spirit and not living by the Spirit. Then let's move on to 14 through 18 of chapter 8. 14 through 18, please.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For if I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Thank you for those scriptures being read. Thank you. We will not say it might have been, but say, as Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where the strength comes from. It's through Christ who strengthens us. Looking at spiritual possibilities, thirdly, we want to look at the mountaintops of Christian privilege. Do you know Christian fellowship in your life? You know what that's all about? What about the fellowship with the saints and believers on a Sunday morning worship service, just as we're having here now? What about life groups? What about a Sunday school time or fellowship with other believers at other places there are times? Divine fellowship is found with Christ. From Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. We also see that fellowship warms the heart. Think of the story of the two people on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection, and the tomb was empty. There were two on the road to Emmaus walking along. And Luke 24:32 says, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Remember, these two were walking along, and Jesus joined them on the way. They remembered back to that fellowship they had. What does good fellowship do on a long trip? It makes a trip short. Think about traveling. There are times you travel and you're with other friends and the time goes by rather fast. Or you can have children along and say, aren't we there yet? Aren't we there yet? Yes, that happens too. But it warms the heart. It leaves an impression upon our life. Just as we see the boldness of Peter and John and the disciples, they all were part of that. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That sounds better. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone opens the door, I will come in and sup with him. I'm not saying that right. But that's, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We also see that Moses fellowshiped with God. And I'm going to go to Exodus here. I'm going to read some verses from Exodus 19, 3 through 6. Exodus 19, 3 through 6. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus saith, thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. For all the earth is mine. See that? And ye shall be unto me the kingdom and priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And then we have some more communication starting down at verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke. In a smoke. Why? Because the Lord descended it in the fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai on top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And then the priest also, which came near to the Lord, what did they have to do? They had to sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth unto him. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. You talk about making sure that you listen and do well. You listen to what was spoken to and do accordingly. Nobody could look on the Lord. He came down in smoke and into fire. Yes. Mountaintops of privilege. Moses fellowship with God. And now we're going to hear about Enoch walking with God. Genesis 5, 22, I believe it is. Genesis 5, 22.
21 and 24.
Yes, thank you.
Is that good?
Yep,
okay.
That's what you have.
When Enoch was 65 years old, his son Methuselah was born.
after the birth of Methuselah. Wait, say that one more time.
Methuselah.
Thank you. Enoch lived another 300 years in close fellowship with God, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years in all. He enjoyed a close relationship with God throughout his life. Then suddenly he disappeared because God took him.
That's right. He didn't die. God just took him. And then we're going to hear about Noah from Genesis. No, I have that one. Noah walked with God, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a just and perfect in his generation. The heavenly joy and peace and guidance imparted by the Holy Spirit. My question is, what does the Bible say about serving God and the privilege that it is? And I'm going to Philippians 1, verse 29. Philippians 1, verse 29. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Also to suffer for his sake. Yes, Christian privilege, as we see in those areas. Fourth is the mountaintops of challenging opportunities. How the opportunities shine before us in this new year of 2024. What are your opportunities for you and for me? One of them I think of is my neighbors. What about your own life? In your own home, in our church, in the community, to visit for hospitality, on your job. What else are the opportunities for this year? To elect a president, to tell the good news. Somebody has a scripture from Joshua 1. Joshua 1. 5-9. When the green light's on, you're okay to go.
Gotcha. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possesses all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong, very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, and you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instructions continuously. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and discouraged, from the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Thank you, readers. Thank you very much. Yes, we see how that Joshua was told God was going to be with him. Forget the failures of the past, except to learn from them, to trust Christ more and self less. Prayerfully resolve on a godly conquest in a new year. Prayerfully resolve on a godly quest in this new year. For parents, shepherding a child's heart. For grandparents, shepherding your grandchildren's hearts. Some of you are newer in this. Some of us are older in this whole scheme. Or serving a cup of cold water in the name of Christ. Or to be at the right place and time. As Michael Springer, a Philadelphia mechanic, rounded a corner on October 7th, 1995, he heard a whimper. He glanced up and he saw a small child dangling from the third floor window of a row house. Springer rushed over and stood directly beneath the child. From the time I looked up to the time I got to him, I say it was about 10 seconds. He said later, I called up, "Baby, what are you doing?" I prayed to God that I wouldn't miss him if he let go. It was all marble steps beneath the window. Just then the toddler lost his hold and Springer caught him. He was just the sweetest little guy, Springer recalled. He had only two teeth. He put his arms around me and hugged me as if he knew what just happened. Afterward, investigators said the 17-month-old had scaled the steps to the third floor of his parents' house and climbed onto a bed next to a window that was unscreened. His mother was using the phone on the second floor. His father was on the first floor with another child. Each parent thought the other had the baby. At the Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, doctors examined him and found no injuries. God had a reason for me to be there, and I was just glad I was. The right time at the right place in 2024, where will we be? Where will God have us? So that we might be participating in the way God wants us. And there is that glory-capped peak, the expectation also of the Lord's return. Of the Lord's return. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The darker the times, the more resplendent it shines. Do not add to the unknown tomorrows with its lovely guarantee of ultimate blessedness. Be ready. She was a little 6-year-old golden-haired lassie with a simple trusting faith. One morning, while I was a guest in the home, I found her busily working in her bedroom, carefully putting things right for the day. And I remarked, "Oh, how nice and neat your room, with everything put in order." And the reply came sweetly and simply, "I'm putting it in order, for Jesus might come today." A 6-year-old was telling that. Mountaintops. We know the lead climber is Jesus Christ. Typifies our Savior. These peaks greet those who are in Christ. Jesus Christ entered death alone and came up first to prepare the way through the death, burial, and resurrection. These mountaintops were seen from Ararat, which means holy ground. Without true consecration, there can be but hazy vision of higher truths. On a clear day, you can see mountain peaks real good. I remember the time being in Guatemala, seeing one of the volcanoes, and you saw part of the volcano here, but then you saw haze, and then you saw the top. You know, it's beautiful to see that, or across the valleys, or around the Haldeman's area there. You'll see the haze hang in the valley, and you can look across it. These mountaintops were seen from another mountaintop. We ourselves must be in a high altitude. Some of the Lord's people, though, live, as it were, in the basement of the ark, in the twilight of faith, which is never quite sure. Sometimes we lie, as it were, against the outside or against the ribs of the ship or the ark, and nervously ask whether the ark can survive the strain or whether or not our salvation will last. Then I think of the Titanic and all that. Fellow believers, as the new year comes, is here, climb in the ark, gaze out from the higher places with assurance of faith, with the assurance of faith. There are the mountaintops. Like sunlit peaks, his mercies rise before my grateful, wondering eyes. Then let me trust him and confess his endless, glorious faithfulness. For great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness. And there's another song that comes to mind. Is pure in heart, O God, help me to be. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. The mountaintop of divine promise, the mountaintop of spiritual possibilities, the mountaintop of challenging opportunities, the mountaintop of challenging of Christian privilege. Go shout it from the mountaintops as we leave here today and as we fellowship and as we work, we play, wherever it is, whatever we do, whether it's school. And then let's sing it here, go tell it on the mountain. Colleen, can you start it? Thank you. God, thank you for bringing into this world your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the way in which he grew and matured and had to be about the Father's business. Well, now we know that he is not here. He is at your right hand interceding for us today. Help us to be your purveyors of your gospel to those we come in contact this week. Through our work, through our play, through school, through whatever, the routine of life. Help us, Lord, to honor you and to walk on the higher planes, on higher ground, so that we might know you more and more as the days go by. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.